The hospital screwed up some of her lab results. They told her she was pregnant, and Erica stopped the chemotherapy. It was a mistake. She found out later there was no baby. The ground shifted under her. Danny asked, her voice a hoarse rasp, "How much later?" She was sick a lot. She thought she lost the baby. Julia asked them to retest the blood from before. It wasn't until after. She knew, but Danny wanted to hear the words. After what? After she was already gone. She never was pregnant. Her stomach dropped. It was her sister, hearing about an unborn child she never had. But Danny was back in that building. The first child died. The second. They just kept dying. She couldn't stop them. May continued, her voice sounding from a distance. Julia pushed for the lawsuit. I think if Erica had chemo during that time, she'd be alive. May paused a beat. They settled for $2 million. 29. Julia was rich. Good for her. Erica thought she'd been pregnant. Danny ached inside. There were no words. It was her child's life or her own. She chose her child, and in the end it had been for nothing. But Danny knew that Erica would have made the same choice if the same lie had been told to her. She knew because it was the same choice Danny would have made as well. Danny left May's grill, went to the lake cabin, wrapped herself in a blanket, and sat on the porch until it got dark. She cried that night. She didn't know if she could stop, but it wasn't just for her sister. She cried for all of them. Her mother, her grandmother, May, even Catherine. She cried for Erica, for Julia, for herself. She cried for everyone. And when she stopped, she was raw and scraped hollow inside, but she cried even more. Jonah found her like that. Her face was streaked with dried and fresh tears. Her blanket was a sopping mess. She had a Kleenex box beside her, half emptied because she used them all. He took one look at her, tucked his phone into his pocket, and carried her to bed. She told him a little of what had transpired that day. He knew about Boone, but he hadn't known about the settlement. She lifted her head from his chest. "You didn't know?" He shook his head. His hand rubbed another tear from her eyelid.
"I didn't. I'm surprised. Small town and everything. It must have happened before I came back."
She rested her head on him again. It was time to talk to Julia. She didn't care about the money, but finding out the reason, she hurt for her sister. Julia must have been there. She must have held Erica, maybe how Jonah was holding her, as Erica made her choice. Maybe not. It was probably Jake who held her, but did it even matter anymore? For the first time since she left, Danny regretted leaving. She hadn't been there for her family when she should have been. She woke the next day with the same decision. It was time to face her ghosts, but she wanted more answers. A second trip to see her grandmother was in order. The drive didn't seem as long as her prior visit. Marge was at the front desk, and after one swift glance, she produced the same blank name tag and black marker with a smile. Danny filled it out. Phyllis stood when she got to the second floor. She regarded her with reluctance.
"I don't know if she's up for a visit, unfortunately."
"What do you mean? What's wrong?"
"She's pretty weak and down right now. She's been bedridden for the last 3 days.
"Is she sick?"
"She's not physically sick. It's part of her mental illness."
"What does she have?" Phyllis smiled.
"You wouldn't understand if I just gave you the clinical term, but I can talk in layman's terms since she gave us permission to talk with you. Your grandmother gets real sad at times and real happy at other times. You got her on a downward cycle last time, but now she's fully at the bottom. It might take her a while to come out of it."
"I thought there were meds for this stuff."
"There are. Phyllis nodded. But sometimes the meds aren't enough.
What about therapy?
Your grandmother won't do therapy. She says it's hogwash. Truthfully, I just think your grandmother doesn't want to talk about stuff that happened in her past.
Danny accepted it, but she asked anyway, Can I see her? Just for a little bit?
I wouldn't want to see my grandmother as yours is, Phyllis advised her. But if you'd really like, I could see if she wants to see you.
Anything. She just wanted to see her again. That's fine with me.
Okay.
Danny glanced around. The humming lady had been sitting in the corner when she got off the elevator, but once Phyllis left, she stood and shuffled her way over. Danny held still, stiff, as she poked her arm. She shook her head, hummed, and poked Danny again. Danny didn't say a word. After a third poke, the lady turned and shuffled back to her sitting spot. She shook her head and went back to humming.
What's your name?
Danny asked. The humming stopped and she gazed over.
Henrietta.
What are you humming?
I'm not humming, Henrietta clarified. I sing in my head.
Why don't you sing out loud?
Because they wouldn't understand.
What do you mean?
The voices, the angels, they wouldn't understand.
What wouldn't they understand?
The angels are dead, but I'm singing about live folk. I can only sing in my head so that the angels don't get mad.
Henrietta glanced down the hallway and went back to humming. The volume rose a notch as Phyllis rounded the corner.
She said you could come in for 5 minutes, but that's all she has in her.
Phyllis nodded, and they both turned down the hallway. Outside of Sandra's door, Phyllis knocked once and poked her head in.
We're coming in, Sandra.
Danny heard a creak and a rustling of bedsheets before she stepped around Phyllis and saw her grandmother. The white hair hung limply off her scalp, and the bedsheets seemed to overcome her grandmother's pale form. She had a hospital nightgown on, and her eyes were numb. Danny swallowed. Phyllis had been watching her, gauging her reaction, so Danny smiled. Thank you. Phyllis nodded and left the room quietly. She gently pulled the door shut behind her.
You can sit.
The order came out in a monotone voice. Her personality seemed washed out of her grandmother. Danny missed her already. She sat, and the chair's plastic creaked slightly underneath her. The back unyielded, and Danny's skin molded around the seat's back. She folded her arms, unfolded them, and finally just laid them on her lap as she tucked her legs underneath. Sandra chuckled.
They're damn uncomfortable, aren't they?
Danny smiled abruptly. There was the Sandra she remembered from her last visit. Something like that.
You come for your second visit today. I suppose you want what I promised you.
If you're up for it.
What do you care?
Her question came out like a bark. I care. And Danny realized that she did care. Very much.
I don't even care. How am I supposed to believe that you care?
I've learned recently that there are people out there who do care. And I think I'm a little like you, but I've learned not to look a gift horse in the mouth. Her grandmother studied her intently for a moment before she sighed and lay back down on her bed.
Have you always been like this?
No answer.
Is this why my aunts don't talk to you?
There wasn't an answer. Danny waited, suddenly filled with an uncanny calmness. Strength filled her. She didn't know where it came from, but it was there. She felt similar strength as she held one of the children in her arms. It came from nowhere, at a time when she should have broken. She learned that day that she could feel strength and weakness at the same time. She could feel surety and terror at the same time, too. She waited,
like she had during the storm. Finally, Sandra O'Hara broke the silence.
My daughters don't talk to me because they don't know I'm here. I only told one person I was here.
Danny bit back the inevitable question. Sandra answered it anyway.
Their father. No one else knew I was here. With him gone, I'm in the system. The government pays my bills.
That doesn't make sense. Danny shook her head. How'd my mother know you were here?
Because she was told by someone else. I gotta guess who that was, but it ain't for you to know.
Danny leaned forward. I think it is my business. I don't think it's right to have secrets in families. Her grandmother snorted, sounding so much like May that Danny felt a pang in her chest.
Yeah, well, we got so many generational secrets I don't feel it pertains to us. We don't pretend to be a family anymore. We got broke long ago.
Who's my grandfather? Danny had asked a different question on her last visit. She had asked for her father, but now she wanted to know who lay at the start of the roots. She wanted to understand how the branches had grown as they did.
Your grandfather ain't around anymore. He's long gone.
Did you love him? Sandra's movements stilled in the bed. As quiet as she grew, Danny would have easily believed death just took her grandmother's breath. And so her answer was even more eerie when she replied,
That was the problem. I did love him.
Danny frowned.
Her grandmother mused further, The two of us together broke a lot of folks. We weren't supposed to love each other, but we did. I loved him, and he loved me, and it wasn't right. We were supposed to stop, but we never did. I got pregnant 3 times from him. That's another secret.
Sandra laughed a bitter laugh.
Everyone thinks my babies were born of different daddies, but they weren't. Whole-blooded sisters they were. Same thing with your mother. She had the same sickness as me. All of you had the same daddy. I'll tell you that bit.
You're not going to tell me who my father is, are you? Her grandmother didn't respond, and Danny knew she wouldn't. She saw the emptiness in her grandmother's eyes. She knew some of it was inside her, too.
What happened to you? Danny asked, but she didn't get a response.
Hell, Danny wasn't sure to whom the question was directed, herself or her grandmother.
What happened to us? All of us? What happened to my mother?
We fall in love with the wrong man.
What if we don't fall in love?
Then we don't live.
Are you alive? The question was an afterthought. The answer was whispered in return.
No.
Sandra continued, speaking to the air.
Sometimes I don't know where I am. Sometimes I don't know what time it is. I don't know what's real or what's from my head. When I met him, he made me feel alive. I got an anchor to the world, like I belonged somewhere when he held me, even though we both knew it wasn't right. I could have stopped it, but he could have too. Neither of us stopped because I needed that feeling. It's why I'm in here. He left me and my sadness came back. I stopped living the day he went away.
Danny heard a hallowed wistfulness in her grandmother's voice. She didn't dare move. She didn't dare interrupt whatever else she was going to hear.
You don't got the same sickness as me, Daniela.
Danny knew her grandmother wasn't whispering to her.
You ain't sick in the head. You just sick in the heart. But you got a wall inside of you. I made sure to install that. I made damn sure. You need a wall, or people gonna take you for a ride. They tried with me. Hell, most think your daddy did take me for a ride, but I went with him. I'd go again.
if the chance arose. Danny bit her lip and held still. Her grandmother forgot who sat in her visitor's chair. She thought she was Danny's mother. It was the same voice that Mrs. Bensfield had used as she spoke to a ghost. Her grandmother whispered, "I'd love to go again." Danny's fingers bit into the plastic seating of her chair. "You raised those girls right. I hear how you talk about them. Julia sounds real proper, like she's going to be a queen or something. Erica, she'll be the sweetheart. You believe me right now. Erica's going to wrap everyone in that hand of hers. She's going to make hearts thump." Her grandmother fell silent for a moment. "And Danny," she sighed, stricken. "She's the one who's going to walk her own path. Julia'll wear the crown, but Erica's going to rule the lands. Danny's just going to walk right through them. She's got it inside of her to make it. I know it." Sandra laughed. She was laughing with a ghost. "You gotta make May clean up her act. And you can do that. I know you can. You might not think it, but you just get her at the heart. You promise her one of your girls and she'll turn around. May can't have kids, and that's where most of her partying comes from. She's mourning all those unborn babies of hers, but you promise her one of yours. She has to earn it, though. She's got to walk the straight and narrow." Danny jerked in her chair. "You promise her one of yours?" Danny tasted salt at the corner of her mouth. She'd started to cry. It couldn't be. She shook her head. That couldn't mean what she was starting to think it meant. "You give Julia to Catherine. Catherine can speak Julia's language. They the same. But Danny, she's different. You give her to May. May will teach her how to stand. I guarantee that. May will raise her right. Erica, you best give her to Catherine, too. Erica's a mix of both her aunts. She's like you, Daniela. She got your spirit. I know. A mother knows. A grandmother knows even more. You do what I say." Danny pressed a hand to her mouth. She was shaking. Her hand was trembling. "No, no." Sandra O'Hara soothed her daughter. "You be fine. That sickness will work its way through you and you'll find peace at the end. You loved him true. I know you did. And even though he's not around, I know Emmy. He'll be back. He'll check in on your girls, but he'll know they ain't his girls. Your girls will be fine, Daniela." Danny took another breath, then another. "Okay," Sandra whispered in a short breath. She sounded drowsy. "You best be going. I'm getting tired right now. I gotta get my strength for tomorrow. You call and tell me how your doctor appointments go. I wanna know." She reached over the bed, grinned distantly at a ghost, and grabbed Danny's hand. "I'll see you when I pass away, too." She drove to one place. She parked. She walked in. She ignored everyone sitting there. The one person she came to see straightened. "What's wrong?" she asked May. "Did you adopt me?" 30. Danny saw the answer before May responded. It hit her smack in the chest, and it was like a bomb that imploded. It was true. Everything her grandmother said was true. Danny never knew. Lies. Had everything been lies? Had everyone been lying to her? "I can't." She turned away. Her heart was splitting open. "Danny!" May rounded the corner and approached her, slowing at the end as if she were an injured animal. "Maybe we should talk about this somewhere quiet." "I don't want to talk about it." Danny removed her arm from her aunt's touch. "I already know. There's a lot that went on that you don't understand." No, there's not. There's the simple fact that you kept something from me. You lied to me. It's not that simple. I wasn't lying or holding back the truth or... Yes, it was. I was a child who wasn't loved by a caretaker. And the person who did love me, who could have taken me in, chose not to. That's how simple it was. Danny, there were stipulations. There were things that your mother wanted done before I could even think of making your adoption legal. But you did. Somewhere down the line, you and Aunt Catherine signed me over, and both of you never told me. Danny felt it in her gut. It made sense why one aunt wanted her and the other hated her. That was wrong. Danny, I don't want to talk about it. Danny started to move away, but May caught her elbow and kept her in place. You will not run away from me, not from this. There are a lot of things that you aren't aware of. Before you pass judgment on me and run, you best be hearing all the facts before you judge me. Danny stared at her. The two stared at the other. Neither looked away, but it was too much for her. Danny pulled away again. This isn't a trial. This was a lie you kept from me. You don't run. I wasn't planning on it. But that wasn't true. It had been there in the back of her mind, but it wasn't strong. There were more reasons to stay than run. Pain flashed in May's eyes. Fine, I'll tell you. Everything. I'll tell you everything. Danny saw who else was in the grill, then. Jake, Kate, Aiden. She ignored all of them and walked away. Just outside, she stopped short because Boone and another man were studying her Mustang. She said, It's mine. She guessed this was Boone's brother. They looked similar. Both were tall and lean, with the elder quandary outweighing Boone by 20 pounds. Those pounds had been lost in mourning, and Danny stood there, plain as day, as the catalyst for that weight loss. An emotion flickered in Boone before he masked it and straightened stiffly. He slid his hands into his custom-made suit pants. His brother arched an eyebrow, raking Danny up and down. He held out his hand.
Drew Quandary,
he gestured to her car.
You got a nice vehicle, a classic.
I'm aware. She was tense, ready for another fight, for another onslaught of emotion that never seemed to stay away for very long.
Drew,
Boone spoke up. Danny tensed at his wary voice. Drew turned and frowned in surprise at his little brother.
What?
Boone sighed.
This is Danny.
Drew jerked back to her, new comprehension in his eyes.
This is my ex-fiance. Oh.
Drew reared back. He raked his brother with worried eyes, then turned to Danny. Sudden suspicion and anger sparked there.
I haven't told anyone else.
Boone spoke to his brother, but he watched Danny.
I don't know what you've said.
He trailed off, letting her answer. Two people. Drew Quandary was silent. He watched the two exes a moment before saying,
You broke my little brother's heart.
Yes.
And you're sleeping with our enemy.
A lump formed in her throat. She heard his condescension. I don't know how that's any of your business. Danny made sure she was looking right at Drew when she spoke. It was Boone's business, but not his brother's. And with all due respect, your brother's relationship is with me and him, not you. And you don't know a thing about me except that I left your brother.
You walked out on him when he was celebrating your engagement.
Drew narrowed his eyes.
I know that, too. And I know that you're the reason my brother's half the man he used to be. Drew.
Danny studied Boone. Is that true? She asked softly. Are you half the man you used to be because of me? Boone closed his eyes. He ran a weary hand over his jaw.
I don't want to do this here. Not with my brother here. You got something going on. I can tell. What's happened, Danny?
Danny flinched. Of all the people to ask, it was him. Kate called out Danny's name at that moment, with Jake right behind her. He was beaming, and he clasped Boone on the shoulder.
I didn't know you were out here.
He nodded to Boone's brother.
You must be Mitch's older brother.
Boone gestured toward him.
This is Jake. He invited us to a poker tournament Friday night.
Oh, yes.
Drew held out his hand for a handshake.
Jake Cairns, you're the deputy who's engaged to Julia O'Hara.
Drew slid a sideways glance underneath his eyelids to Danny.
Susan was impressed with how you carry yourself. She said you were a good man to have on the team.
He seemed to remember.
Oh, sorry. I should explain. Susan's my fiance. She and our father are flying in Friday. Mitch and I won't be able to make the poker tournament.
Danny tucked that information away. Jonah would probably want to know if he didn't already. Jake nodded, like it made sense, like he had friends flying to Craigstown every day.
Family before pleasure, that's what I always say.
Kate's mouth opened an inch. She gazed dumbfounded at Jake. She turned to Danny, but she shook her head. Danny was giving her a silent command to let it go. Kate got the message, but she gave Jake another incredulous look. Her eyebrows were arched high. Drew caught the look between Kate and Danny, but held his hand out again to Jake.
Not to cut it short, but we should be heading out. It was a pleasure to meet all of you.
He shook Jake's hand, then turned and left. Boone glanced back, looking at Danny briefly before the two got in an SUV.
Yeah.
Kate held out her hand and pretended to shake an invisible hand.
It was a pleasure to meet you too, Mr. Drew Billionaire and Gorgeous Quandary. A huge pleasure.
She let out a sigh, her hand resting on her hip.
Man, they're always taken. That Mitch guy's taken too. I've seen the red bombshell on his hip around town.
She looked at Jake.
You're friends with them?
Jake was studying Danny.
What? Oh, yeah.
He scratched behind his head.
Julia is. Her and Jenny hit it off yesterday at a tea party.
Kate snorted.
A tea party? Are you kidding me? You're going to marry someone who attends high tea at noon?
It wasn't at noon, and I guess.
He asked Danny.
You okay?
Kate cursed under her breath, whirling around.
Oh, shit, I am sorry. That's why we came out, before we were distracted by Mr. Hoity-Toity here and his new golfing buddies.
She jerked a thumb over her shoulder at Jake, then softened her tone.
We heard what you asked May. Is that true?
Danny sighed, accepting the inevitable. It was fresh, but so was her resolve to stop avoiding. She looked right at Jake. I don't know about the adoption stuff, but I do have something I need to tell you. Jake grew quiet. She felt a lump forming in her throat again. You asked me a long time ago why I came back. I was in a relationship, and he asked me to marry him. I left him, and that's why I came back home. I came back to heal. He needed to know the rest, or most of it. You warned me about being with Jonah because he's going against the Quandaries, but they're not going to hurt me. Mitch was the guy who proposed to me. 31.
Whoa,
Kate said under her breath. Danny was only worried about Jake's reaction. Jake, I'm sorry. He jerked back a step, raw emotion etched over his face. His eyes looked strained. His mouth tightened.
No, I mean, good job. You got one over me.
Jake. But he was gone. He was already halfway to his squad car. Kate laid a hand on her shoulder.
I'll talk to him. He'll get over it. Men are stupid, sometimes. They don't realize that when they break up with a girl, that girl is no longer theirs anymore.
She gave Danny a quick pat.
Honestly, don't sweat, Jake. If anything, this is good for him. Maybe make him rethink some of his hoity-toity choices in life.
She murmured before following her partner.
And for the record, holy shit, woman. Mitch Quandary.
She whistled.
Blows Julia's money out of the water.
Their car's back lights turned on. Kate groaned.
I gotta go before he leaves me. And he says I'm the emotional one.
She laughed.
Please tell me your secret. I must learn from your amazingness. You're like a goddess with men.
She took off, getting in the passenger's side. Jake reversed the car out of the parking spot, bringing him almost right in front of her. He wouldn't look at her.
Jonah came over later, and she filled him in on everything that happened. He was gone when she woke the next day, so she figured he was off to work, and she was just sitting down with her coffee when someone knocked on her front door. It was Aiden, and she wasted no time.
I need your help.
Danny readied herself. With what?
My father is coming into town tonight, and he wants to stay at my home.
Whoa. Jonah hadn't said a word. What? Your dad?
You don't understand. My father is coming, and he wants to stay at my home. At my house. My house where I'm supposed to be having a party tonight, and people are supposed to be giddy and drunk and laid. And Kate and Robbie are supposed to kiss tonight.
She stopped, pressed a hand to her stomach, and took a deep breath.
My father cannot step one foot in my home. He will ruin everything.
Oh, Kate and Robbie were going to kiss?
He will not ruin my poker night. We're going to dress as carnies tonight. That's the plan. The backup is animals. Kate's going to be one of those belly dancers. Bubba's the bearded lady, and I was going to dress as the blind hostess. I need him to stay somewhere else, and I'm going to tell him it's my house.
She grasped Danny's arm.
Please don't judge me. My dad's not like normal dads.
Hey, Danny held up one hand in surrender. I'm still trying to figure out who my dad might be. No judgments here.
Oh, good.
A few tears from relief leaked out. Even Aiden's grin was a little shaky.
All we need is a place. A very nice place. And most of my stuff can be transferred there. I'll hire people for all the moving. Of course, whoever's place we stay at will have to get rid of their pictures and keepsakes. But we can do it. We can do it. I just need your help. You don't have a job. You have time.
Danny took a step back, on instinct. Aiden rushed inside, producing a thermos from behind her back. Aiden poured the rest of Danny's coffee into the thermos and grabbed her arm again.
We can take my car.
Danny managed to grab her purse and keys before she was dragged outside. So, whose house are you going to use?
That's the problem.
Aiden frowned as she gulped some coffee.
I've been thinking about that. My dad's wealthy. He's going to expect a certain type of house, and our house won't pass muster.
He's never been to your house?
Hell no. Are you kidding? My father is stuck up, rich, and thinks mansions grow on trees.
So who has a mansion for use?
I've been racking my brain, and I can't really... Robbie! Robbie just bought a huge house. That's perfect. He didn't move in too long ago. He probably hasn't had any time to collect furniture. And I'm betting Lori got rid of most of his personal belongings. Lori's the type who would do that. That's great.
Aiden's eyes lit up in anticipation.
What am I in charge of?
Okay, we're going to Robbie's. He should be at the office right now. You charm Kelly Lynn, get his keys from her, and I'll head in to schmooze it over with Robbie.
Me and Kelly Lynn? No.
Yes!
Her head was bobbing up and down.
The girl's been biding her time before she pounces on you.
Danny frowned. Aiden continued without thinking.
Everyone knows Erica knew you were coming back. She made all her friends promise to be really nice to you. Only Julia's the stick in the mud. Kelly Lynn promised, but she thought you needed time to adjust being back home. So anyway, Kelly Lynn will be only too happy to help us. She'll probably even help with decorations.
Decorations?
Yeah, anything Robbie has won't be good enough for Father Dearest.
Aiden raced around a corner, and Danny grabbed the door handle to keep from falling.
Won't your father think it's weird that you give him your house and don't stay there?
No, he'll think I did it to spite him.
Aiden shrugged.
It's something I'd do. The problem is,
Aiden continued, rambling to herself,
is that I need really rich stuff, but I can't afford to buy it all.
What about your kids' rooms and their stuff?
Oh, no. I'll just tell him that they stay at the nanny's house. He'll believe that. He has no clue.
Danny was taken aback.
We'll need bedding, a few rugs, probably a new set of dishes. What else? What else?
A chandelier?
Aiden lit up.
Yes, of course. May has one at the grill. You think she'd let us borrow it?
Danny frowned. What? She'd been joking.
Okay, you explain it all to May. That's your other job. Would May let us use some of her fancy dishes? You know, the ones that she pulls out for the hoity-toity crowd? She always says that.
The truth was that she'd probably do it, and she'd definitely do it for a laugh at the expense of some of those hoity-toity folk, but that meant Danny would have to talk to her aunt. The big emotional upheaval that her adoption talk would be hadn't happened yet. She wasn't ready to see her.
Why don't you call Jonah and recruit him for that? I'll be too busy handling Kelly Lynn, and you know she adores Jonah.
Aiden pointed at her, snapping her fingers.
That's a good idea. You're good at this.
Then her eyebrows bunched together in concentration again.
Okay, plan of attack.
Then Aiden punched a button on her car.
Call Jonah.
A dial tone sounded through the speakers, but Aiden grabbed an earpiece and popped it in. Danny soon heard,
Hey, I need a favor. Well, drop what you're doing. I don't care. This is ground zero time.
Danny was in awe.
Yeah, still not caring.
Aiden rushed over her brother's protests.
Dad is staying at Robbie's house tonight. Yes, he'll think it's mine. Shut up. You have to go and talk to May. Get her to let us borrow the chandelier and anything ritzy that would impress Dad.
Another moment, and she interrupted again.
Not caring. You will do this, or you will not be eating at my house ever again.
The call ended soon after that, and she beamed at Danny, parking at the same time.
Mission accomplished. Well, part of the mission.
She nodded to Robbie's building.
This is DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 0. We're going in.
Do you even know what that means?
No.
Aiden smirked in triumph at Kelly Lynn's offers to help with anything. Robbie took a little smooth-talking, but after a quick word in private with Aiden, he offered anything and all that he owned to impress Daddy Warbucks. Danny rode with Kelly Lynn to her own friends and family members. Impressive thread-count bedding was offered. Anything Kelly Lynn asked for, she got. She held everyone in the palm of her hand, and Danny was experiencing acute déjà vu. Erica had operated the same way. She felt a weird sense of nostalgia, but disregarded it. That was ridiculous. After they'd gotten added offers of a jacuzzi and even a pool table, Kelly Lynn decided they got enough. She studied Danny a moment before starting her car.
You've been watching me. There's watching and there's watching, and you're watching.
People like to help you. Her hand let go of the keys. She still hadn't turned the car on.
That's not what this is about.
It's not? Danny itched for the door handle, but stayed. She held firm because she was turning away from her running ways.
This is about Erica.
Kelly Lynn leaned back in her seat. Danny lied through her teeth. I'm just amazed at how much you've gotten to help Aiden.
I'm not doing this for Aiden. Those people aren't doing it for Aiden either, or me, Kelly Lynn continued. They're doing this for Jonah.
Not what Danny expected. You too?
I dated Jonah for a while, and I remembered him talking about his dad. A real piece of work, right?
Danny frowned as a few raindrops splattered their windshield.
So if Dave calls, then I'm helping out an old friend.
And that's Jonah or Aiden?
No.
Kelly Lynn shook her head.
You.
She was stumped again.
Huh? Dave's a bit insecure when it comes to Jonah.
That didn't make sense either. Just Jonah?
Pretty much. A lot of the guys around town are insecure about him. You've seen him.
Oh, yes, she had. Danny remained silent.
Plus, Kelly Lynn started the car again. This is also about all the time that you've been spending with Jonah.
Really?
Really?
Kelly Lynn wiggled her eyebrows in a knowing manner.
You think people don't notice? People notice. They talk, too. They've noticed that you and Bannon are spending a lot of time together, and you should prepare yourself, you know.
For what?
You're Jonah's new girl. You're going to be treated differently by a lot of people. People know Jonah. Guys secretly love him and secretly hate him. And all the females, they either adore him in a sisterly fashion because they know they could never have him, like Kate, or they outright lust after him.
Kate's not like that.
Yes, she is. Kelly Lynn leaned forward, starting the car. If Jonah were mine, I'd keep him happy and wrapped around my pinky.
Because that's what you do.
Kelly Lynn heard the bite in those words. She turned the car off again. Is that what the watching's for? Danny looked out the window. You haven't changed much from high school. You and Erica had everyone wrapped around your finger. That's what I remember. Not Jonah, Kelly Lynn pointed out. And Erica couldn't hold him either, remember that? So you one-upped her.
That's great. That's why I came back, to one-up my dead little sister.
Erica wouldn't care anymore.
Or maybe she would. Maybe she'd roll over in her grave.
Danny knew she was baiting Kelly Lynn, but she couldn't stop. Or maybe I should drop the guy who dropped Erica and take my revenge. I could have Jake back. Kelly Lynn searched Danny's closed features. I don't know what you want, but I'm not doing this. I'm helping out Jonah because I care about him. If you want to pick a fight with anyone who cared about your sister or Jonah or whomever this is actually about, then go and fight with them. Danny forced herself to relax, making a concerted effort to loosen her shoulders up. I'm sorry. You're helping, and I'm grateful.
I'm not helping you.
I know. Jonah. You're helping him.
Danny kept quiet through the rest of the afternoon. Aiden was right. Kelly Lynn impressed Danny with her resources, and she pulled out all the stops. By the end, the pool table was delivered, and the jacuzzi had been rejected graciously since Robbie already had two. All the beds were changed and readied by the time Aiden arrived to Robbie's mansion with a chandelier in her back seat. Jonah found Danny and Kelly Lynn in the kitchen where they were packing Robbie's non-extravagant dishes to make room for the extravagant ones May offered up.
Hey.
Jonah grunted a hello, holding some boxes.
Where do you want this?
Kelly Lynn pointed to the table.
Leave it there. We'll put it away when you bring all of the boxes in.
Jonah nodded, and as he left to move another box in, he walked behind Danny. His fingers caressed her backside. Danny watched him go, feeling a spark. He glanced back just before he turned the corner, a cocky smirk in place. She rolled her eyes, but she had to admit that he got to her. She was already thirsting for him, wanting his hands on her body. He only held her last night. Her body was reminding her of that fact.
Hmm,
Kelly Lynn harumphed. Danny gritted her teeth. I don't get why everyone cares about my business.
Are you serious?
Kelly Lynn placed the last of Robbie's dishes into a crate. Aiden bounced into the room, but stopped short. Her eyes skirted between the two.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Danny ceased caring that Jonah's sister stood in the room.
I'm a little tired of having people care who's in my bed and who isn't.
Aiden's mouth formed an O. Kelly Lynn snorted.
Get used to it because it's never going to go away, especially when you have who you have in your bed.
Jonah stopped behind his sister. Neither Bannon commented.
Are you actually doing this for Jonah, or are you doing this for Erica? A little bird told me that Erica made you promise to be nice to me.
Kelly Lynn went still, then slowly moved her box aside before she faced Danny. Her petite shoulders lifted up, taking in a pocket of air.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Kelly Lynn nodded.
You've been pissed at me ever since you saw me in the bank. Let's do this.
Do what?
Kelly Lynn stopped the riddles.
I'm not doing this for Jonah, and I'm not doing this for you. You're right, it's because of Erica, because of a deathbed wish she forced out of me.
Danny was suddenly wary. Kelly Lynn shook her head. Her eyes grew haunted.
Erica wanted you to feel included and not left out, like what she did to you when you were growing up. That was her dying wish to me. I was supposed to do that.
She skimmed over the Bannon siblings.
It's not ironic that the group that never liked Erica welcomed you first.
Aiden spoke.
She's my friend.
Kelly Lynn swept a scornful gaze toward Aiden.
You're friends with Danny because everyone knows about the O'Hara rift. You hate Julia because Bubba flirted with her when you two were having problems.
What? Danny's mouth fell open an inch. Aiden narrowed her eyes.
Julia was a little too friendly, so yes, I'm not a fan. But that's not why Danny and I are friends. I like Danny because...
Because she's a walking wounded, Kelly Lynn finished for her. Because she's got what it takes to make your brother fall in love. You know that Jonah likes a challenge, and Danny's the best challenge that came to Craigstown in a long time. That's why you're friends with her. And don't even lie, Aiden. You told Katrina that the day that Danny got here. I know because she told me at our barbecue that night. She said you gushed how Bryant was going on and on about this hot chick he saw driving a Mustang. You said that it would take someone incapable of life to make Jonah fall hard and fast.
Aiden sucked in her breath. Jonah remained quiet. He watched Danny. Danny said slowly, "Incapable of life?"
It's not like that, Danny,
Aiden finally answered.
Yeah, that's what I'd been hoping for at first, but I consider you a friend now.
Incapable of life? Danny asked again. Aiden frowned. Kelly Lynn cut in.
It's all over town that something happened to you. Everyone knows it. We can all see it. We don't know what it is, but you are the walking wounded. You look like a lost little lamb begging for someone to bandage up your broken limbs.
Whatever broken limbs that Danny might have had healed in anger. She straightened. Say that again?
Please, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Kelly Lynn flushed, but moved back a step. I might have taken it before, but you're right. Something did happen. And I'm not the same Danny O'Hara who left like a wounded puppy with her tail tucked between her legs.
I'm not saying you are.
Kelly Lynn shifted back a second step.
You just did.
You kinda did,
Aiden said.
Kelly Lynn stuck a hand on her hip and lifted her chin up.
I'm not here to be on trial. I came to help out. If you don't want my help, then...
She started to slide from the room. Danny got in her way. You started this. Don't leave before the fireworks start.
I didn't come here to be attacked.
Danny straightened even farther, feeling Jonah watching her. I'm not attacking you, but you don't have to worry about being nice for Erica. For one, she's dead, and two, I don't want your sympathy vote. Not only do I not need it, but I don't want it. The doorbell rang then, and Kelly Lynn heaved a sigh of surrender.
Those are the flowers that Katrina said she'd donate to the cause. I'll let them in on my way out.
But before she did, she said,
We're not the enemy, Danny. I'm not the enemy. I really was trying to be a friend today, and I didn't mean anything bad when I said that you were the walking wounded. You just looked hurt when I saw you in the bank when you came back. Erica was always a brat. I know that. It's why we were friends. We were childish, immature, and cruel when we were younger. But Erica was hurting too, you know. We're not the enemy.
Her head ducked down. Not anymore. The room echoed as her footsteps sounded along the marbled floors. Two Katrina's Blooms employees brought in the vases of floral arrangements. They were quiet and quick as they placed six vases onto the dining room table. Once they were gone, Aiden started...
Danny, I...
It's okay. Danny held a hand up, cutting off Aiden's apology. I knew from the beginning why you liked me. Kate wasn't exactly quiet about her obvious delight that I was going to take Julia down a peg or two. I didn't know that you and Bubba went through a rough period, though. Aiden blinked in shock.
It was about 2 years ago.
She laughed.
Well, that whole conversation kinda came out of nowhere.
Aiden glanced sideways to her brother.
I'm going to finish up, but I think we're almost done.
She placed a hand on his arm.
See you tonight?
He was staring right at Danny when he answered.
Yeah. See you tonight.
There was a determined look in his eye, and Danny knew her afternoon of confrontations wasn't done. They waited till Aiden left the room before he asked,
Can we go outside?
She looked out the window. I think it's raining. He grabbed her arm.
Even better.
And he half-walked her, half-dragged her out the door. Once outside, he kept going, moving until they were under a veranda. Rain was pouring down on both sides of them, almost forming a complete wall that gave them some privacy. She let out a soft breath.
"Why are you angry with me? Shouldn't I be the one mad at you?"
His hair was wet, and his eyes were stormy. He ignored the bait and slid his hands into his pockets.
"How does it feel?"
"What do you mean?"
Jonas stepped closer.
"You were Erica's ghost. How does it feel?"
Danny rolled her eyes and moved back, but Jonah caught her elbow and held her firm. He said again,
"Don't push that off."
Danny looked from her arm to his hand and wrenched free. "Don't grab me like that." Jonah crowded her.
"You mattered to her. How does that feel?"
"Why are you doing this?"
"You mattered to her."
"Stop it."
"You mattered to her."
"Stop it, Jonah."
And Danny shoved him back.
"What are you doing?"
"I want to know how it feels to know that you mattered to someone. You mattered to her. You mattered to May. You mattered to a lot of other people. You didn't need to leave for 10 years to make people care about you. She already cared about you."
"Where's this coming from?"
The wind picked up, sending bursts of water over. The windows on the house rattled from the rain's force, but they were oblivious. They were caught in their own storm, and then Jonah said,
"I want you to let people in. I listened to you last night. You talked about this crazy grandmother. You talked about your two aunts. You talked about all this really heavy shit, but you did it matter-of-factly. And it scared the hell out of me, because I realized last night that you don't let people in. You're shaken by people. You care about them, but you don't let them in. You don't let people in."
"Are you talking about you? About us?"
She shoved his chest. His words stung, but she wasn't focusing on that. Her anger helped. She'd cling to that, and when he fell back a step, she became the aggressor. She got in his face.
"Let's talk about you. Let's talk about the fact that your dad is coming. You didn't say a word. I was spilling my guts out to you last night, and not one word about your family."
He snorted.
"Right. Of the two of us, I'm the one who has a sharing problem."
He put his face right in hers. Their noses were almost touching.
"Guess what? My dad's coming today. I didn't tell you because I don't give a shit, but you know what else? I'm not going to run away because of him."
A pent-up growl exploded from the bottom of her throat, and she grabbed the front of his shirt. She hauled him close, debating what to do. Push him away, pull him to her, hold him tight, shove him back. She couldn't make up her mind. As if reading her thoughts, Jonas smirked.
"What are you going to do, Danny?"
Her eyes clung to his. She had no idea. He added, his voice soft,
"What are you going to do if you find out another person cares about you? What are you going to do? Are you going to leave?"
"What are you talking about?"
His eyes darkened and he clenched his jaw, but he only said,
"You know what I'm talking about."
Then he made the decision for her. He dug into his pocket and tossed his keys to her.
"Here."
Danny caught them.
"What is this?"
"You can take my car. I'll get a ride with my sister."
"I'm helping."
"No, we're okay."
Jonah was already turning back to the house.
"This is a family thing. We'll manage."
What the hell just happened? 32. Her head was hurting. A sane person would want to figure out what happened, but that was the problem. Those were her personal problems, dealing with her feelings, her thoughts, and her issues. Nope, she wasn't going there. She wanted to deal with someone else's issues, someone whose life was even more messed up than hers. Her grandmother's. Once she was back in the mental hospital's lobby, that same blank name tag was placed in front of her. Same Phyllis smiled at her, but different greeting.
"Your grandmother doesn't remember your last visit."
"Maybe that's for the best." The sharpness returned to Sandra O'Hara's gaze when they got to her room. Her grandmother pushed herself off the mattress with her skinny arms that looked like bird's legs. Her muscles shifted and Sandra O'Hara plopped in the lounger beside her bed.
Well, come on, bring it over.
Sandra pointed to the second chair.
Pull it around. Take a seat.
And as Danny did, Sandra pinned her down with an intense stare.
What happened?
Huh?
Don't play dumb. What happened to you? You look all upset.
It's my second visit. She was cut off by Sandra's snort.
It's your third. That's what Phyllis said.
Her grandmother shifted on her seat and reached for a blanket to wrap around herself. Right, well, Danny shifted to get more comfortable. I wasn't really here last time.
Your mother was.
You remember that? Sandra snorted, pushing off the floor with her feet. She wore hospital slippers, and she began rocking her chair back and forth in a slow and steady rhythm. Danny wondered if this was what she did when there were no visitors.
It's easier to lie to them than tell the truth.
She peered at her granddaughter.
I remember some of it, in patches. Some I don't. I can get legit cuckoo sometimes. From what I remember, you handled it just fine.
You're no high Mrs. Bensfield, but it was fine. Danny grinned. She liked hearing her grandmother say the words, legit cuckoo. It reminded her of May.
What?
Nothing.
What do I owe you? This is your third visit. I owe you something.
You promised to tell me who my father is.
Oh,
Sandra cursed under her breath.
I promised you that. Didn't I let something slip last time? Does that count?
It doesn't. You called him Emmy, but I don't know any Emmy.
Sure you do. You just don't know their full names.
Danny's eyebrows pinched forward. She frowned. Are you going to tell me who my father is?
No.
Sandra plopped her foot onto Danny's lap.
I need to raise my legs. My doc said something about elevating the edema.
Her hands came to rest on her grandmother's feet. You promised me.
I'm a liar. Part of the reason why I'm in this place.
I deserve to know.
You don't deserve a goddamn thing.
Sandra pulled her feet down and leaned forward. She shouted,
I deserve to have my daughters by my side, but where are they?
One's dead, another's dying, and who knows when May's name is up. Sandra fell still. Danny knew she was supposed to stop. She shouldn't talk like that to her grandmother, but she couldn't. The words spilled out in rhythm with her heartbeat. It was speeding up. She was fed up. You already lost one daughter. Maybe you could begin bridging the gap with your family by starting with me.
By telling you who your daddy is?
Yes! Danny shoved out of her chair. It screeched across the floor and hit against the wall with a bang.
Shit.
She bit down on her lip. She hadn't meant to do that.
If you pick it up again and slam it against the wall, it feels a lot better.
What? Her grandmother didn't blink.
I'm serious. You could even throw it at the window. Wouldn't do a darn good. They got 'em covered with thick plastic or something so no one can throw themselves out the window. We just bounce off like rubber birds. It's not a good feeling when you go splat on the floor.
Are you insane? Sandra gave her a duh look.
Yeah.
You're impossible.
Impossible and crazy should be synonyms of each other.
Sandra tipped her head back and chuckled.
Henry's impossible. Thinks she sees damn angels.
Danny's chest was heaving. No one came to check on the noise, so she retrieved her chair and pulled it back in front of her grandmother. Sandra murmured as she sat back down.
Henrietta tells me every day that my girls are around. Daniela and Erica. Can you imagine that? Talk about delusional. I don't see things that don't exist. When I'm out of it, I see people from my past. More possible than Henry. She's nuts.
I'd like to know who my father is. Sandra sobered, her eyes flicking to Danny's.
You can't handle that yet.
I can, too.
No, you can't. It's rolled up in a whole other slew of barrels, and you're barely holding it together as it is. You think this lie's bad? There's a whole bunch more when you find out who he is and his twisted story.
What do you mean?
Sandra plopped her feet onto Danny's lap again and settled back once more.
Don't worry about your daddy. He'll come to you when you're ready. I know that much if I don't know a lot else. Let me tell you about your granddaddy. How about that? He's another story.
Sandra chuckled.
Your granddaddy's name is Oscar Bensfield. Oscar Sr.
Mr. Bensfield. Danny's eyes lit up.
That's right. Sandra chuckled again. Nannery Bensfield used to be my best friend until her husband up and left her. He didn't leave her for me, so she never suspected a thing, but I hope you don't got the O'Hara curse for stupidity.
What do you mean? Danny repeated. As she talked, her fingers began moving on her lap. Sandra was making the motions like she was crocheting. There was nothing in her hands, but that's what she was doing.
I was stupid. I went back around for more and more. He got me pregnant again and again. I lost the last kid, which is what I think set off my crazy spells. He never made no promises with pretty words and such, and we were never together in the official sense, but I loved him. I kept going back for more and more. Does Nannery know?
Sandra nodded her head and grinned wickedly.
She sure does, but she didn't find that out until years later. It took her nearly 20 years before she got told what her precious Oscar was up to outside their cold bed, long before their marriage went stale.
You ruined a marriage, she snorted, shaking her head.
The marriage was ruined long before Oscar came sniffing around.
You didn't help it. That got her grandma, and Sandra sat back.
Huh? Got a point.
Marriage is sacred.
Theirs was just wrong.
Sandra's fingers went back to air crocheting.
Sometimes partnerships aren't meant to be, and sometimes they only do bad more than good. Theirs was one of those. They weren't meant to be married, and Oscar knew that.
Lilies and daisies, Danny announced. Sandra grew still.
What did you just say?
Lilies and daisies. Her husband, my grandfather. He liked lilies and daisies. She told me that 2 days ago, didn't he? But Sandra was looking away. That was her answer. Danny stood up slowly. It was sacred in her mind. Isn't that all that counts? That it was sacred to one of them?
They just flowers.
Funny. Danny's voice dripped in disdain. Those were her words, too. Sandra O'Hara looked away. She cared enough to remember him. She named her son after him. Danny turned away. Those were my mother's favorite flowers, too. Lilies and daisies. They're my mother's flowers, so don't say they're just flowers. They're more than that. They meant something.
Why are you doing this? Why do you care after all these years? These are secrets better left buried. They just bring pain to everyone involved.
So says the one who'd rather have her sins left buried. Danny shook her head. This was wrong. It was another wrong that was being buried. This wrong affected people. The cycle had to stop. The pain had to stop.
You'd like everyone to forget about you, don't you? You want to forget what you did to your daughters. You don't want to be remembered because then you got to look at your decisions.
It's not like that. Danny's blood began to boil. That's all this family has right now. Secrets. I barely talked to 2 of my sisters growing up, and I don't talk to the one living now. Julia's like an anal, obsessive-compulsive stranger who just knows all my hurts. Secrets got us where we are right now. I think I have a right to find out who I come from.
You're going to tear up this family.
There's no family to tear apart, Danny cried out. We got the same name. That's it. There's no family anymore, and it started with you.
Now, I didn't. You told your daughter to give her children away. You told her that May could have me if she cleaned up her act. You acted like we were cattle to give away to the richest owner. You told your daughter, who came to you, knowing that she was dying, you told her to split her children up.
I gave my 2 cents. That's all I did. Words have power. I never felt a part of that house.
You were a mother who told her dying daughter what to do. She listened to you. You did that, not my mother. You tore my home apart, and you did it because that's where you came from. I didn't. The evidence was right in front of her. You, no. Sandra bunched up her blanket on her lap and began shaking her head. Her eyes grew wet, and her lips started to tremble, but she wasn't looking at her granddaughter anymore. She reached for a button clipped to the bed. Her hand curled around it. She held it tight, like it was a weapon. Leave. This is my room. This is my home, and I get to say who comes to judge me. I say leave and don't come back. Danny couldn't believe what she was hearing. She looked around in exasperation, and she caught sight of a single clove on her grandmother's nightstand. One clove, tucked underneath the Bible, and Danny knew it had been kept for a purpose. I always found a clove under my pillow. I never knew who put those there, but I guess it was your grandmother. She was always worried about me. The cloves were for... Danny scrunched up her face, trying to remember. The cloves were to attract my guardian angels. My mother told me one night, and I'm telling you that, too. Danny's mom smiled down at her, tucking a stray hair strand behind her ear. Her fingers lingered over her cheek, feeling how smooth they were. You remember that, my little Danny. You see a clove, you remember that I put it there. She lowered her head, resting her forehead to her daughter's, and whispered, Because I'll be your guardian angel if we're ever separated. I'll be looking out for you. A clove. That was all it took. Anything